audio courtesy of Cleveland.com. It started with a trade request. It has moved to declining extension talks. The only thing next would be an ultimatum. Anthony Lima and Tom Withers in for Ken Carman, a real journalist. Last week we were supposed to have, well, quasi-journalist in Jason Lloyd. We get a real journalist today in Tom Withers of Associated Press fame. You've seen him around town for the better part of, can I say 25 years? How long?
You can say 26 years.
26, I was close.
There you go.
I was close. Your biographers gave me some semi-accurate information. Tom, your first thoughts when we knew the Miles stuff wasn't great. There were some rumblings that maybe it's about the money, maybe a guaranteed contract, maybe make him the most expensive non-quarterback in the NFL and guarantee most of it. Maybe that'll do the trick. Maybe there's a means to the end for Myles Garrett. And yesterday, according to the reports, that got squashed in a big way.
Well, now we're at the tried and true negotiating in the media phase of this fight, right? And I don't know what the end game is here for either party. It's been real puzzling to me, Anthony, to see the way that Miles is kind of, you know, flip-flopped here over the last couple of months, right? He goes from, I'd like to retire as Brown. I love it in Cleveland. The fans love me, et cetera. I think we can turn this around.
They're not that far away.
Not that far away. The Hard Knocks interview, followed by the ultimatum, and now this negotiating and this leverage play that he's trying to make as what looks to be like an NBA-type play. You know, towards the end of the season, I'll be honest with you, when I heard that he had been consulting with LeBron, I thought, uh-oh, here it comes. And then sure enough, you know, a couple weeks later, we find out that he's made these kind of demands.
Yeah, not only that. The LeBron stuff scared a lot of people because the minute that and now he did say that he had made up his mind before talking to LeBron. People aren't going to believe that. I mean, people are going to think that, like, LeBron was in there planting the seed. No, what planted the seed was 3-14 in the middle or getting close to who knows where he is in his prime. It seems like the way his body is, he should age gracefully in this game and be able to play a long time. But with that said, I mean, 8 years. 8 years you devote to an organization. I always ask fans, like, how many years do you think you deserve or are you owed when you draft a player? Because LeBron, I think, taught us years ago that, you know, 7 years, highs and lows, that's a good amount of time. We always wanted more with LeBron. But I think since then, the way that the leagues have evolved in free agency and how a lot of players in different sports have steered their way to different organizations.
Power. Yeah.
Feels like 8 years is at some point the team also needs to prove themselves to the player.
I'll give you that. I think the Browns have treated him well, though, yeah. Also, right? I mean, and he has played at an unbelievable level the last 4 years. I think there's been some inconsistencies, early on where we wanted, hey, where's that Miles game-ending sack, right? Where is that moment where he actually steps up and becomes that kind of guy? We've seen that the last 2 or 3 years. I'll remind you, we also had that car accident a couple years ago, a bit of a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say that the Browns stood by him during the Mason Rudolph situation and the suspension, right? That's not to say that he hasn't been a good soldier. We've also heard whispers out of Berea that he may not be the leader that, you know, he espouses to be, right? He may not be exactly that guy. I've been told by some players in that locker room that there's times when Myles Garrett brings up his voice in the locker room and nobody really pays too much attention to it because he's kind of playing his own little game as well. He's a bit of a diva. Don't get me wrong. I like Myles a lot. I have a lot of respect for Myles as a person, as a player. I think he's done some great things for this community. But I think this power play, especially now in the media, here we are, unnamed anonymous sources, which I have a hard time with. If you're going to give me that story, how come you can't put your name on it? So we're going to have this back and forth.
And that's coming from you, well, who's used unnamed sources over the course of your career at times for background.
And you have to at times because you're forced into a situation where you need to get the news. But you also say to that source, why can't I put your name on it? And if you can't put your name on it, you better give me a good reason why. Otherwise, this is not going to go on the wire because we're not going to play this back and forth game doing your negotiating for your client, for your whoever. So it's in a bad situation now. I'm not surprised that the Browns are digging in their heels. They have no other choice at this point, right? They got to figure out a way. I thought it was interesting this week the way Andrew Berry framed it as, I'm not interested in moving Myles Garrett, digging in, right? Somebody's going to have to make him interested if this trade is going to happen, right? And somebody's going to have to put down some kind of a package in front of the Browns that they just can't refuse.
Well, not only that, Tom Withers in for Ken Carmen this morning. We got a loaded show for you. We've got plenty of football from the Combine. We've got Carl Dukes of the Infinity Sports Network at 8:20. Howard Beck of the Ringer at 9 o'clock. Four Cavaliers in the top 50 of their updated rankings, even though we found some more skepticism out there in radio land. We'll play some of that for you coming up. But Tom, you know, it was a few years ago. Was it 3 years ago that Jadeveon Clowney, when he walked out the door, started, you know, lobbing some things, I would say, you know, for Myles Garrett, considering how beloved he was in this town, unsavory things.
Casting aspersions.
Yeah, and we all took Myles' side. We're like, oh, Jadeveon Clowney was on a different team every year, rent a player. I have seen some people wonder, oh, was there something to that at this time? None of this. What I'm not going to do is just kick Myles out the door like he's garbage, like, oh, we're going to be better without him. We know that's not the case. I wonder, the Canton thing, it was weird to me, the terminology that bothered him so much. I thought that was fine. I didn't think that was that big of a deal. I understood what Barry was saying. But then Barry, the last time he talked on Monday, you know, that press conference, about 15 minutes at the Combine in Indy, you know, he said something again that I think might have rattled the camp of Myles a little bit, which was, you know, there's not a scenario, I can't envision a scenario where he is not a Cleveland Brown. Well, you have somebody who's saying, not only do you need to envision that scenario, you need to make it happen. And I wonder what that was going to be met with. And I think we found out, because it was just a day later, basically, that Myles is like, this is not about the money.
Yeah, he's swinging back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Much like Super Bowl week when he went on, you know, Radio Row and did all those interviews, and much like this week where the NFL is all converged on Indianapolis, that's a platform, right, to get out however it is you feel about whatever subject it may be. So I don't know. I think things will calm down here over the next couple of weeks. I think this was a card that was necessary, to your point, Anthony, a card that the Garrett camp felt they needed to play to counter whatever Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski had thrown out from their side over the last couple of weeks. I still think, in my heart of hearts, I still think there's a way that they get this resolved, believe it or not. I still think there's
resolved.
I do. I think there's a situation in which the Browns make an offseason move or two that placate Garrett and make him happy enough to stay here. I think he genuinely does love it here. I think he wants to finish his career in Cleveland. I think that's a big part of what he wants to be in terms of his legacy. And I think if the Browns convince Myles that, okay, you know, we've made a trade for, let's say, this free agent or this veteran quarterback, okay, he's going to be our bridge quarterback for 2 years. We're going to take either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders at number two. Here's the rest of our plans. I'm not so sure that the Browns laid out definitively step A, B, C, D, and E to Myles earlier in the offseason as to here's what we're going to do, because I'm not sure they knew what they were going to do.
I don't even know how you could.
How could you? Right.
That.
You haven't even seen, right? You haven't had the combine. You haven't sat down with Sanders. You haven't sat down with Ward. You haven't taken a look at the landscape to see who's going to be available and who's not. So I still think deep down that there's still a way that this can get fixed.
Owen, we found some optimism. We finally found somebody in Cleveland who's optimistic about the few. The grizzled veteran reporter is the guy that's optimistic. The stereotypes are all wrong. This is incredible.
That's what it took, huh? Yeah. Again, as I said before, I've got a great deal of respect for Myles. I kind of see where he's coming from. I also think that because he lived through the Joe Thomas final years and saw what that looked like for a Hall of Fame player, that maybe gave him a snapshot of what his future could look like if he decided, you know, to stand pat and not do things. Hey, bottom line, 3-14 and not having a quarterback is why we're here. Bottom line.
All right, 216-474-0092. You've heard me. You've heard Tom Withers. I like a fresh dose of optimism, because this has been an ugly week. It's been an ugly month for the Browns. When you think about from the Myles situation to, oh, by the way, Nick Chubb's going to be a free agent, and the way that they're talking, boy, I couldn't believe it. I thought at the very least that they'd be able to strike up something where he's not the guy in the running back room with the understanding, let's see what you got. No, they're basically like, no, he's going to pursue free agency. And boy, people around the league don't seem to think that he's coming back to the Browns. It's still early in the process. We'll see how healthy Nick Chubb is, whether he's even on a football team to start the year. you know, but that was just another blow. The JOK news. The JOK news, I mean, you can make an argument that's as big as anything, because if they don't have JOK, then Jim Schwartz doesn't have his defense. I mean, he is a linchpin in that defense.
I thought last year, I'll be honest with you, I thought last year he was playing better than anybody on the Browns before he got hurt. He was absolutely their top defensive player, ahead of Myles Garrett at the time of the injury. And now we don't know if his career's over or not.
Yeah, so it's been, you know, kind of this drip of, all right, wake us up when we have the draft. And now the draft, you've gotten a lot of wrenches thrown into that. Abdul Carter, the injury situation. People seem, you guys tell me if I'm wrong on this. It seems like Shador, his stock has gone down once everybody convened in Indy. Because you kept hearing in the lead up, well, he doesn't have the physical traits, but he can do this, this, and this, you know, adequately well. And it just feels like, even though he's not throwing, everybody kind of got together in Indy and has a similar story. Like, hey, he's you know, an accurate passer from the pocket, but after that, here's where it goes wrong. Then, all right, Cam Ward. Can I get Cam Ward? And is that going to make sense if Abdul Carter is the guy that goes number one in Tennessee, or is Tennessee going to trade out? So there's a lot of mystery in the air. Browns are sitting at number two, which I do think is a fortuitous spot to be in, despite all of the noise around this. What is your sense right now, Tom? Because you said you think there is a way that if everything went a certain way, that maybe Miles would be intrigued.
Yeah, and I don't want to throw another cold bucket of water at things, but, and this one is close to the heart, is Joel Bitonio's situation, right? We're, you know, borderline Hall of Fame offensive guard who may not be coming back. So, yeah, this happens frequently, Anthony. These combines, this is what happens, right? The league gathers. Suddenly they start dissecting players. Everybody's trying to figure out, like you said, you know, the deep mysteries and depths of this draft. This is a fascinating draft, I think, just because you have so many teams towards the top, as you always do, that are in dire need of a quarterback, the Browns being at the top of that list, right? You have a player in Abdul Carter who people are starting to talk about as a generational type of edge rusher, much in the Myles Garrett, you know, realm. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes on here. And I'm with you. I think it's gone from, okay, all these connections, you know, whether it's, Shador playing Madden with the Browns or whatever the case may be. There were all these connections going in. And now it feels like it's flipped to the other side, and it's suddenly like Cam Ward seems to be the guy. So I think there's still a lot that can happen here. I think, you know, we can get into this, but, you know, in my mind, the Browns have to take a quarterback at number two. I don't think there's any way around it. I think they have to fall in love with one of those two guys. It's rare you're in the situation. They've spent the last 75 years looking for a franchise quarterback. When you have the opportunity to get one of the top two with the number two pick, I think you've got to do it.
I've been with you all along. I think I've been thinking, assuming that Cam Ward was not going to be there at one, so I assumed it would be Shador Sanders. I guess there's a lot of silliness going on, so we don't really know what to make of any of this. I still see there are plenty of guys that do have, you know, first-round grades for both Shador and Cam Ward. Now, we can debate, well, where in the first round? But does it matter when you don't have a quarterback? Does it matter? Are you going to try to thread the needle and trade down and still get the quarterback that you like? You know, we have Brian Hoyer on a couple of times. We're going to have him on, you know, every week in the lead up to the draft on Tuesdays. And Hoyer, he doesn't want either of these guys. And he's fine with the Browns taking a quarterback with that very coveted first pick of the second round. But that's tough again. What if your guy's not around? We're just punting on the decision for a year. So there's a lot that goes into it.